These have been an unusual couple of months for Topeka's Westboro Baptist Church and its pastor, Fred Phelps. Known for their controversial and vitriolic protests lambasting churches, gay people, and America, two of Phelps' granddaughters publicly defected from the church last month, and this month a new book tells of an even bleaker life on the inside. I'm Brian Ellison. Today on Central Standard, we talk to the author of that book, another church member who was banished from the community she called home, forced to leave her childhood and her family behind. And later, in the Christian season of Lent and with Passover on the way, we take a look at these and other religious rituals as they relate to food. Why exactly do some people of faith connect what they believe to what they eat or what they choose not to? Family, faith, and food, today on Central Standard, after the news. The protests of Topeka's Westboro Baptist Church are a well-documented event here in Kansas City and really around the country. They're distinctive signs that declare the people and groups whom God hates, their presence at military funerals. These have become familiar enough that sometimes the media don't even mention them. What we haven't seen much about is what happens on the inside the church compound, and inside the minds of the members. Good morning. This is Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison, and today we talk with one who was on those picket lines as a child, but who now has left. She paints a troubling picture of the life the members and children of the church face inside the community and in that life. Later, we'll talk about religious observances involving food this time of year. But first, Lauren Drain is the author, together with Lisa Pulitzer, of Banished, a memoir surviving my years in the Westboro Baptist Church. And she joins us this morning by phone. Welcome, Lauren.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's really nice to have you. Is Fred Phelps a monster?
Is he a monster?
Yeah.
I would say, obviously, he has bad characteristics, but like any cult leader, he also has a charismatic side to his congregation, and one of which, you know, probably helps keep the members there. So he has two sides, I would definitely say.
We'll explore some of those conflicting aspects of who he is this morning. I want to start, though, with your story. Your family was one of the few people in the church who were not related to Fred Phelps. How did your family come to be part of Westboro Baptist Church?
Right around the time I was about 14, my father, Steve Drain, went to do a documentary on the church. We had previously lived in Kansas. You remember their protests. And he was actually kind of trying to do an expose of their, you know, strange subculture. After spending about a summer with them and speaking with them one-on-one, he, for some reason or another, decided that maybe they had some right thing to say, and he ended up buying into their doctrine and wanted to bring our family there to that church.
Given the doctrine that we all hear about, at least as it's expressed on protest signs, that doesn't seem like a very appealing doctrine, what do you think your family saw in it, your father saw in it?
My father, he'd always been searching for something to be part of. You know, I didn't have a religious upbringing. He didn't really have a religious upbringing. But I know he was always searching for something, some form of something to be right. You know, he's always had a type A personality, very, you know, likes to be controlling, wanted to control his family to a large degree. You know, he pulled me out of high school, he separated me from my friends, and he kind of isolated my mother from her family as well. So I know that that's partly had something to do with it. He wanted a lot of control over his family, which he certainly got. But he's also been always wanted to be very arrogant and debate things and pretend that he's right, and I don't know. I'm not really sure. You'd have to ask him, but that's what my understanding is.
Now, just to get to the end of the story at the beginning here, your title of your book is Banished. You don't have contact with your family anymore, right?
No, I have no contact. They won't allow me to speak to my siblings or anyone. It's probably been about 5 years now since I've seen or spoke to them.
And can I ask how old you are, Lauren?
I'm 27.
Okay, so this all happened over the course of the last 14 or 13 years.
Yes. Actually, I was 14 when it first started, so it's been half my life.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you feel like your father went because he had a certain vision of how he wanted to run his family, and that was a big part of it. Was that part of the important teaching of the church, family relationships, and particularly a sort of a male head of household who exercised a lot of control?
Definitely, it was enforced that whatever the father wanted to do, he was the head of the household. This is what you need to submit. The wives need to submit. The children need to submit. And if you don't, you're being disobedient and rebellious. And you know, they use all types of words and threatening words.
I'm sorry. What was supposed to happen to those who were disobedient or rebellious?
Well, it depends. If you were a member of the church, you were, you know. They would send out emails. You'd kind of be publicly humiliated. Oh, this person's doing this and that. Maybe we'll kick them out. You know, maybe they shouldn't be here. And, you know, they would always threaten you to lose your family. If you left, you know, God would kill you. Bad things would happen to you. Go to hell. Everyone would try to, poison your mind if you leave, you know, this and that. So it's a lot of threatening tactics, a lot of humiliation, a lot of, you know, threats of losing your family and losing, you know, your faith in God and this and that.
Can you think of a specific time that you did something that was regarded as disobedient or rebellious?
What, with my father or after being in the church?
Well, after being in the church, or did it actually work? Did it change your behavior to where you never got in trouble?
Yeah, I guess I can think of it, examples. But, you know, as a teenager, as growing up, you know, you make mistakes, you do silly things. And in the end, there's no forgiveness in that church. There's no forgiveness for things. Your parents threaten to cut you off for life, you know, that you're 100% marked as condemned. And the problem there is, you know, people make mistakes. And that's, you know, that's okay. And the fact that they give you no forgiveness or hope of anything or of salvation or of staying in touch with your family after doing something is just pretty absurd. And so that, I guess that's how I'd answer that question.
Yeah. I know that you write a great deal about your friendship with the Phelps granddaughters, including Megan and Grace, who actually just left the church last month in a very public announcement. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what the members of the Phelps family were like. Did they seem like a normal family? If you took away the what the public knew about the Westboro Baptist Church,
I would say they were a very, you know, communal, united family. When I first came there, I was about 14. I just saw how, you know, intelligent the children were. They were very kind. They were nice. They were athletic. They were, you know, they made good grades. They were all working, hardworking kids. They were just, I thought they were excellent in terms of what you look for in a family. But, you know, you got the other side of things, obviously, their whole protesting and their hateful side. But as actual people, yes, I fell in love with their personalities. You know, the younger girls, the granddaughters of Fred Phelps, you know, I went to high school with them. I went to college with them. I became friends with them really quickly. And, you know, they have great personalities, and some of the things they're raised to believe are good. You know, they're raised to believe, you know, they need to get a good education. You know, they have excellent grades and excellent intellect. And, you know, I don't know. There's some values that I definitely took away from in terms of living there. But, yeah, I would definitely say that on a personal level, they can be good people.
You know, when you talk about this, Lauren, and not just in this interview, but I've seen you now, you were on CNN on Piers Morgan last week, you were on CBS This Morning, you've really been making the rounds. I have to say that you sometimes sound a little conflicted, like there's some things you miss about the community.
I definitely wouldn't go there. No, absolutely not. I'm not conflicted. It's an interesting dynamic. If you understand what cults are, and it took me a while to understand what they are, it's your family. You never stop loving your family. You never stop caring for your family. And you never stop understanding that people are dynamic. You know, just because you disagree with your family doesn't mean you hate them. Doesn't mean you're going to castigate them forever. So I definitely would say, you know, I'm trying to explain to people why you might get caught up in a brainwashing. Because that's what I was. I was brainwashed. But I just need people to understand that, you know, I'm trying to show my family a different way. And that doesn't always work when you just say, oh, they're horrible, horrible people. You know, they're brainwashed, they're confused, they're lost, and they're blinded. And those are the types of things I think of. And obviously, they're horrible things they do and say, and I don't agree with them at all, nor do I support it. But I just trying to let the people understand that brainwashing, it's a very difficult thing, especially when your family's involved. Because yes, I've left the church forever, but in my mind, I still have my family there, and I hope that one day they can leave. And I need to show them that there's a different way.
We're talking this morning here on KCUR's Central Standard with Lauren Drain. She's the author of a new book, Banished, Surviving My Years in the Westboro Baptist Church. She's joining us by phone this morning. And we're talking a little bit about what it was like inside the compound. Obviously, Lauren, a lot of folks know only the stuff on the outside, the protests, such a very visible part of Westboro Baptist Church's life. What are those protests really about? What is the family, what is the church trying to accomplish with those protests?
Well, their doctrine is that pretty much everyone besides their small little congregation is doomed. They're going to hell. God doesn't like them. They have a very elitist mentality. You know, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. They have this idea that their job is to tell everyone else, you know, that they're doomed for this reason or that reason. They literally think that's their job. They're not intending to recruit people. You know, if anything, they'd rather have smaller numbers to make them feel more elite. And that's really what they're about doing. They're trying to get media attention, and they're trying to continue to condemn people. That's just their doctrine.
Now, but the doctrine also says that there's nothing people can do about it, right?
That's what they think, yes.
So why is it so important for them to tell everybody that they're, going to hell, literally?
Good question. I'm not there doing that anymore, and I've had many questions myself. You know, after spending a few years there, and I, you know, was learning the Bible and I was reading things on my own, I had questions myself. Why do we say this? Why do we say that? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? You know, I questioned things myself, which actually probably was one of the big reasons that ended up leading to me getting kicked out. They don't like when things are questioned on the inside. They don't like when people are influenced to think for themselves. And, there's a lot of holes in their doctrine that I obviously don't agree with. So once I was bold enough to say some certain things, it didn't work out well for me in terms of me staying there.
You actually made a choice. They actually banished you. You didn't make the choice to cut yourself off from the community, right?
Yeah, they kicked me out. But like I said, they kicked me out after I had been asking questions. I've been asking, you know, how dare we hold up certain these signs, or how dare, you know, we picket certain things. And, I was 21 at the time. I was extremely close to my sisters, extremely close to my siblings. I had a 3- and 5-year-old who I had been raising since they were younger. I was very attached to my family. You know, I had no other life outside of that place. Not only was I was still a little bit brainwashed. I still believe some of the things they said. And I wasn't fully ready to leave on my own. But if you look at some of the other people that defected, they didn't leave till they're 25, 26, 27 years old. So I don't think it has anything to do with age, really, when you decide to oppose something or when you get brave enough to leave on your own. I was kicked out, and I'm happy I'm out. You know, a good thing. They beat me to the punch. But I think eventually I would have left on my own. I had a lot of questions that were unanswered, and there was a lot of things I didn't agree with. So, but I do want to emphasize that it is an extremely difficult thing to leave your family, knowing you're going to be cut off from them for your life.
Well, on that note, I want to take a moment here, if you'll bear with us, Lauren. I spoke a few years ago, actually in March of 2011, with Nate Phelps on the Walt Bodine Show about his departure. Now, he took a somewhat different route. At midnight, at the age of 18, he climbed out the window and left the community. He also was cut off from much of his family when he did that. Nate Phelps is the son of Fred Phelps. And I found it interesting to compare your story of your relationship with your family and your father and Nate's story of his relationship with his dad. And so I want to listen to just a little bit of that interview from March of 2011. Nate Phelps is talking here about his experience of why his father preached so much hate.
He's always been that way. We'd sit there in church, and he would something would come up like Robert Schuller's going to build the Crystal Cathedral. So he would spend two or three Sundays railing against Robert Schuller's theology and this notion of positive thinking and where he saw error in his theology. So every single system, every single human, you know, at some point in our growing up, we heard what they had to say, and we were taught why it was wrong. As far as we knew, everybody out there outside that building was evil and had drawn God's wrath to them.
Nate, how old were you when you left Westboro Baptist Church?
I left at midnight on my 18th birthday.
Wow. So what year was that, if I may ask?
1976, November.
So what were the circumstances? Did you have to sneak out, or did you actually walk out the front door?
Yeah, no, I had to sneak out. I have an older brother, Mark, who had left, and there was a lot of tension. There was a lot of effort by my father to pull him back in, but he managed to stay gone. But I'd also watched my older sister, Kathy, leave when she was 17. She was about 17 and a half, and he ended up forcing her back physically, and there was a lot of violence there in those final months before she turned 18. So I knew I had to wait, and I also knew that it wasn't going to be something that he was excited to see happen, so I had to be tricky about it.
When you left, you were doing more than just leaving a church, and in some ways more than just leaving your household. You were cutting yourself off from your whole family, right?
We knew that once we decided to leave there, that meant that we were going to be ostracized, and it was heavily enforced, and we knew that if anybody in the church had anything to do with those who had left, that they would also be kicked out. So I knew what the decision was, but I also kind of had this notion that it really wasn't going to happen to me. Hope springs eternal, I guess, hey?
I guess so. So why did you leave? Why, as a teenager, did you make the decision that you had to leave this community?
I had been at odds with my father for years. It was a very extremely violent environment. I had basically a sense that if I stayed there, it would destroy me. I also had this, you know, firmly held belief that if I left, that I was going against God's will, and it would cost me spiritually. But I kind of just got to the point where I thought, okay, if I'm going to hell, I'm going to go out and live my life and deal with that somewhere down, you know, in the future. So there was a lot of confusion, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of fear, but I really didn't perceive that I had a choice at that point.
What happened after you left the church? Where did you go?
You know, I was kind of lost. That's one of the things. You're not really taught how to live in the world. You know, mm-hmm. You're taught that the world is evil. You don't want to be out there. So I kind of wandered around. I went for, I actually spent my first three nights sleeping in a gas station garage because I hadn't even planned for any of that. I just wanted to get away. But ultimately, with help from friends, I finally got a job and ultimately moved out to Southern California and was in the printing business for over 20 years with my brother Mark. But all the while, going through this process of starting to analyze, I would spend night after night fighting with my father in my mind, saying, well, what about this? Having these arguments, stuff that you should be able to do as a child, question your parents' belief system, challenge it and make up your own mind. But we couldn't do that. I had to do that on my own, as I was growing up.
And I know you've written and spoken about the impact that all this had and the journey afterward of your own faith and your own thoughts about religion in general. How have you changed? Where did you end up?
I spent a lot of years as an outspoken apologist for a more mainstream Christianity. I embraced that for a period of time, but was always hearing, my father's criticisms in the back of my mind of that kind of Christianity. I just got to the point where I thought, well, who really has the right answer about who God is and what the truth is out there? So, it led me to ask a lot of questions and read a lot of books, and I just got to the point where I said, I don't believe any of this is real, that if there is a God out there, he's not reflected in any of the religions out there in the world.
Do you think you'd feel that way today if you hadn't grown up in the place where you did? If you'd grown up in, say, a more mainstream or a nice, quiet Methodist church like your grandparents?
It's a hard question to answer because I know that part of the reason I'm the way I am is because that's just who I am as a person. I question constantly. Now, did I get that from what I grew up with, or was I born with it? Certainly, I don't think I would have had the intense need to find answers I had by growing up with my father. It's hard to say, Brian. I don't know if I'd ended up here with a little less emotion attached to it, but I think I would have, yeah.
That was Nate Phelps, the son of Fred Phelps, pastor of Westboro Baptist Church. I spoke with him on the Walt Bodine Show in March of 2011. I'm talking today with Lauren Drain, who a generation later found herself banished from the Westboro Baptist Church. Lauren, I wonder, how was your experience similar? How was it different from Nate's?
I guess I would say it's similar because when you realize you're going to get ostracized from your family, it's hard. It's very tough. I had seen families get broken up, people get cut off from their families, and it was a real fear of mine. You know, I really do love my family, and I really do love my younger siblings, and I didn't want to. I had a fear that I was going to abandon them, and that weighed stronger on my heart and mind than if I was doing the right thing with my life. Mm. I wasn't sure or ready to leave. I'm sure I would eventually, I know myself. I'm a very curious person. I ask questions, and it gets me into trouble sometimes, but in that case, I think I would have ended up leaving. I guess, what do you say? The other question was if I differ from anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, because that was, I don't know, 20, 25 years before your experience or maybe 30, I guess. Has it changed much, or did it sound strangely same, even though time has passed?
It's different for me. You know, when I was in the church, I experienced a lot of, I guess you would call it love bombs from people. You know, they like showered me with love and like, you know, compassion, and I was part of the family and I was part of the group. And, you know, it was very, you know, your parents act proud of you when you do this and that. Like even my father would say, you know, after I went to a certain really, upscale, well, I don't know how to say the word, but if we went to a certain protest, he would be like, oh, you're my little prophetess. You know, I'm so proud of you. So there was a lot of positive reinforcement to stay and, like, you know, a lot of fear to leave. It sounds like from Nate, he didn't get a lot of positive reinforcement to stay. That was what I received. I didn't see a lot of bad sides to the pastor in terms of a one-on-one. He seemed a lot tamer and mild. Once I got there, I don't know if that's just the course of time or what exactly, but, you know, I definitely saw some behaviors in him that I definitely thought were erratic or kind of manic, but I didn't see a violent side. I didn't see, like, a violent streak that Nate is talking about. I definitely saw manipulation and control, but they were more verbal kind of manipulations, not physical. So I guess I would say that, but I would definitely say, yes, there's a lot of positive reinforcement for you to stay that confirmed the brainwashing. You know, a lot of the things that when we would protest and people would say things to us and, oh, you're so hateful, you know, maybe you guys are going to hell or something like that, then it would just, they would tell us, well, you know, Christ said you'll be hated for the things that you say and do. So it would just reinforce my brainwashing and make me think, well, if people are hating what I do, you know, this is confirming that I'm saying the right thing. So they had a lot of retorts that would enforce the doctrine.
If you have a question or a comment about Lauren Drain's experience or the Westboro Baptist Church life, give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also always email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Dan in Lawrence is on the line, and Dan, I understand you actually know Lauren.
I do. I met Lauren when she was young, when she lived here, when her father was pursuing his PhD in film school. I'm sure you don't remember me, Lauren, but I came over to dinner a couple times. I played with Buddy Spinoza, the puppy that was so much fun, and got to know your family. I want to tell you that congratulations on writing your book and on getting away, and it shows a lot of courage that you're working towards this and being able to do this, and I wish you the best of luck getting back with your little sister and the two youngest ones. The one comment I wanted to make was that your father, the one feature film he finished at film school, had a minister as the main character, and this is back when he still called himself an atheist. And then he wrote three more screenplays right before he left film school, and every single one of them had a minister as a main character. So he seems to have been really on a path seeking in that direction for several years there before he started the documentary on Fred that got your family into the church.
Hmm. Dan, thanks for sharing that recollection. Lauren, do you recall any of that? Is that something you knew about your dad?
Yeah, I recall what he's talking about. I guess I didn't have that perspective back then. I was just a kid, so I kind of just thought, oh, whatever Daddy does, you know, is kind of cool or exciting or whatever, especially when it had to do with the film production industry. But that's an interesting comment. Thank you.
Yeah. Dan, thanks so much for that call.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good luck, Lauren.
Thank you.
So you... Dan talks about a sort of the life before going to Westboro Baptist Church. And I guess I wonder how much do you remember from before you entered into this much more constraining community? I mean, do you think of that time as the good old days, or do you think of that as a time that also had its issues?
I definitely remember life before, you know, and I think maybe that had an impact upon why I was able to ask certain questions or why I didn't always, you know, conform to everything that they said. You know, I do think of it as the good old days, I guess. You know, I felt like I had a normal family. I felt like I had normal parents. I was, you know, part of a family, and there was, you know, no restrictions there in terms of contact or anything. And I totally understand not agreeing with your family sometimes. It happens to a lot of us. But that doesn't mean you should be cut off from them or deemed as an evil, you know, member of the family or something. So I guess I definitely remember that. It just when I look back on my life, I feel like I had three different lives, you know. I have my life now, my life in the church, and before. And it definitely is kind of, you know, different and bizarre. But, I mean, I don't know. It's who I am. It's what made me who I am now.
Well, yeah, I wonder, I mean, who are you now? And by that, I mean, where do you come out on matters of faith and on matters of religious life? I mean, obviously it was a very scarring experience. You've written a book about it. But do you find yourself believing the same things, but with a less extreme take on them? Or do you find yourself believing something very different?
So I had completely lost my faith in God and identity, and I had no idea what was going to happen to me. I thought I was going to hell. I thought, you know, I had panic attacks that I was going to die, that God was going to kill me. These are the things that they at the church have been ingraining in my head. So I was pretty lost there for the first 6 months, and brainwashing is a very extreme thing to try to get rid of. After studying with some friends and some people that supported me, I was able to see that some of the verses that I've been twisted to believe some things, you know, now had a fully different meaning interpretation for me. And I really was able to come alive after that. You know, I was able to come back and believe in God again and know that there was something for sure that I believed. And, I prayed that whole time period when I was on my own, and I was lost, and I was, you know, thought I was doomed, and I thought I wouldn't have any good life left, that I would not lose my faith in God. I would just be shown a different way. And that's what happened to me. So I'm thankful for that.
Let's take one more question. This is from Al in Kansas City, Missouri. Al, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning. Actually, one of the things that's disturbing me, and I do have a quick question, too.
We're almost out of time, Al, so why don't you
to
your question.
So I'm tired of the sentiment here. I want to know what she has to say to these people. They are listening to her right now on this show, I'm sure. So what does she have to say to her family?
Thanks, Al. Lauren?
I have to say that I wish they would stop. You know, there's another way. There's other way to do things, and they're doing very harmful and damaging things in the name of God. And I beg them to stop.
And we're going to leave it at that. That's Lauren Drain. She's the author of Banished, Surviving My Years in the Westboro Baptist Church, together with Lisa Pulitzer. She wrote that book. Lauren, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, a different aspect of religious life, food and faith, how certain religious seasons and festivals relate with eating habits or choices not to eat. That's coming up after a break. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR.